So we'll let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll stand for our final hymn tonight. That will be hymn number 67. Final hymn, that is, prior to the message. Hymn 67. I sure am glad tonight that Jesus paid it all. Amen. He paid a debt I could never pay. Oh, boy, am I glad of that. Verse 3rd and 4th. Verse 3rd and 4th, people.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me.
We're so grateful tonight. Amen. Please be seated, church. And let's grab our Bibles at this time. So good to have Brother Dave and Sarah, little Sydney, and Shane. Praise the Lord for that young man. And to see them back with us tonight, what a blessing. They've got quite a drive to get here. But like the twins, they come from Massachusetts. They said, Pastor, you know, it's worth it for us to come because the joy of the Lord is here. The joy of the Lord is here, and as long as I'm passing, I want to make sure it stays here. Amen? Amen. Folks, you know, so many churches are just dead. Yeah. Boring. Oh, fall asleep, you know. We need to liven up. We've got the Spirit of God. We've got the living God in our midst. That is exciting. Let's grab our Bibles tonight and open up to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, as we continue on in our studies of the eight mysteries of the New Testament. Tonight we come to mystery number 5. Mystery number 5 tonight. And for the sound guy, part 11 tonight, as we come to the fifth mystery of the New Testament, part 11. Now, we've seen the first mystery of the New Testament, the mystery kingdom. The second mystery of the New Testament, the mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden candlesticks. Thirdly, we saw the mystery of the body. Fourthly, we saw the mystery of the indwelling Messiah. Tonight, fifthly, we come to the mystery of the church as the bride of Christ, the bride of Messiah. Now, look with me here in Ephesians chapter 5. Remain seated, and we don't want to overwork you tonight. In Ephesians chapter 5, look with me at verse 22. We have our fifth incredible mystery. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that you reverence her husband. I want to speak to you tonight, beloved, on our fifth mystery of the New Testament, the mystery of the church as the bride of Christ. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this most incredible passage. Lord, we are thankful tonight that we are so intimately connected to thee in a divine everlasting union that we are your bride. Lord, we have the greatest bridegroom there's ever been in the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful, Lord, for the unconditional love that you bestow upon us. And oh, how we can learn from you, Lord, how to love our wives properly, biblically, spiritually. And Lord, we ask you to bless this, the fifth mystery of the New Testament, to our understandings, that we may come away tonight with a deeper knowledge of the mysteries that you've given. And Lord, we ask you to bless us by your Holy Spirit, enlighten your word in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, beloved, here in our fifth New Testament mystery, we find a glorious truth, one which this world has no clue of. That is, the body of Christ, which is the church, is the eternal bride of God the Son. You are married to the Lord. When you get saved, you become part of his bride. Now, let's dig in tonight and explore this great mystery. First of all, tonight, observe the example that Paul uses to illustrate this incredible mystery. In verse 22, who does he address first?
Wives.
The wives. The wives is a picture of who? The church, the bride of Christ, right? Now, he doesn't have to address himself because he's perfect. He's eternally perfect in everything he does. But he has to address the wife, picturing us and things that we, as his bride, must do. He says, wives, what's the next word? Oh my, I wish he didn't say that. You know, God's people, they don't want to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We don't believe in lordship salvation here. We believe in salvation as a free gift of God by his grace, freely given. Lordship is something that you choose to make Jesus Lord. That's apart from your salvation. But he wants to be Lord. Amen? He wants to be Lord of our lives. So he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So in a Christian marriage, the wife is to submit to her husband as she submits to the Lord Jesus. In other words, whatever the book says is what we need to do, is what we need to submit to. Now, listen carefully. This incredible mystery, notice here how the Apostle Paul so eloquently portrays the relationship of the human wife to her husband in correlation to the relationship of the bride of Christ to her divine bridegroom, the blessed Lord Jesus. Notice the word submit. It means to submit to one's control. Wow. To submit to one's control? Yes, that's what I want to do. I want to submit to his control over every area of my life. I don't all the time, neither do you, unless you're a liar. But I want to. He knows my heart. Listen carefully. This is how the bride of Christ, the church, is supposed to live. by submitting to Jesus' control over the life. Go to Psalm 18. Hold your place in Ephesians. We're coming right back. In Psalm 18, David's incredible psalm of victory. Amen? After the Lord had given him victory over all his enemies. Look what he says here in Psalm 18. Look with me in verse number 44. David writes, oh, by the way, look at verse 43. Thou, David speaking to God, amen? Thou, Lord, hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. Now, look at verse 43. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. This is a prophecy of the Messiah, folks. He says he's made him head of the heathen. That's David was head of Israel. David was never head of the Gentiles. Okay? This is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Look what it says, verse 44. Jesus interrupts the Holy Spirit and begins to speak in verse 44. As soon as they hear of me, they shall, what?
Obey
me. The strangers shall what?
Submit
themselves unto me. You see that prophecy? It said, one day, I'm going to send my son into this world. And when I do, multitudes of strangers, heathens, Gentiles will submit to him and obey him. You know why you obey Jesus Christ tonight? You know why you're in God's house tonight? Because you love him. Because he changed your life. And you now submit to him willingly. This is how the wife is submit to her husband, willingly, not constrainedly. Hey, honey, and I'm twisting her arm behind her back. make me that steak medium rare, would you? Throw some onions in there. No, you don't force them against their will. The will is involved. Secondly tonight, back to our text, Ephesians chapter 5. Secondly, notice in verse 23, Paul gives us a comparison and a contrast. Look at verse 23. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Now, in the comparison that Paul makes here, the husband is the head of the wife, as the Son of God is the head of the church. Hey folks, I tell you this all the time, and I'm so glad I'm not the head of this church. I'm nobody. Don't look at me, man. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. And he will be till he comes. Amen? No man is indispensable. I'm so glad I understand that Jesus Christ is the head of his people, the body, which is the church. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at this verse. Speaking of Jesus being the head over his people. Look at verse 22. Speaking of Jesus Christ, God the Father hath put all things under his feet. You know what that means, folks? If somebody needs something, they've got to go to Jesus Christ. Amen. Muslims don't particularly like that. Buddhists, Hare Krishnas, you know, they don't like that. Because they've got some other way that they've fabricated of getting to God, and it never works. It says all things are under his feet. And gave him, Jesus Christ, to be the what? Head over all things to the church. He's head over all things in this church. He's head over our missionaries. He's head over the offerings. He's head over the preaching. He's head over the praying. He's head over the worship service, the singing, and the glorification. He's head of all. I'm so glad of that. This is how, back in Ephesians chapter 5, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, here is a great comparison. But then he makes a contrast in verse 23. That the Son of God is the Savior of the body. Look at that in verse 23. And not only is he the head of the church, but he is the Savior of the body. Now, that is that Jesus Christ, folks, is the Savior of the union of both Jewish and Gentile believers today who have been incorporated into his bride. The church. He's head of all. And he's the Savior of all. Okay? Every member of the Bride of Christ has been saved by Jesus Christ. There's no exceptions. Now, whereas the human husband cannot save his wife spiritually, but he should be willing to protect her even at the cost of his own life. Okay? No, the human husband cannot save the soul of the wife. But he should be willing to. Look what it says in verse 23. He is the savior of the body. He gave himself for her. Sacrificially. This is how Christian husbands need to love their wives. Sacrificially. Well, you don't know my wife. I don't need to. I know what the scripture says. We know what the scripture says. And that's all that matters. Amen? Now, something else. Thirdly tonight in our text, Paul next issues an example for the human wife. Look at verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Now, he's saying that as the church, don't worry guys, we're going to get to you in a minute here. don't be busting your britches here. Listen, he's saying that as the church is subject to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, so should she be subject to her own husband. Amen? Christian wives are supposed to be subject to their own husbands. Now let me ask you a question. Did he say, let the Christian wife be subject to any husband? No! You know, there's guys in our churches today that think that they can lord it over someone else's wife, tell them what to do. You know what? The husband of that wife needs to come over and give him a boot and say, take a hike, buddy, that's my wife. You don't tell my wife what to do. That's up to me. Amen, according to the Bible. Now go to Colossians. And go to Colossians chapter number 3. Look at this verse. In Colossians 3, a lot of Christian guys love these verses about the wife submit, I'm the boss. They don't understand. We got a bit more to read, guys. Look at chapter 3 of Colossians. Look at verse 18. Verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. He's saying that's a good thing to do. Okay? Now, next, fourthly tonight, Paul issues an example for the human husband. Look at verse 25. Now it's the husband's turn. In verse 25, Paul says, husbands, love your wives. Now it doesn't say, love your fashion model wife. It doesn't say love your 107-pound wife. It doesn't say love your beautiful blonde-haired, blue-eyed wife. It says love your wife. Amen? Amen? Listen, when you take that vow, you vow to take her for life till death do us part. She may not look like she looked one day, but she's still her, and she's still your wife. Look at it. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, here again, we find both a comparison and a contrast. The comparison is that Messiah loves the church, and so husbands are to love their wives unconditionally. Amen. Somebody tell me, how does Jesus Christ love us tonight?
Unconditionally.
If us husbands with our thick skulls can just get that through our brains, life would be so much simpler. That I need to love her unconditionally.
Amen.
She snaps at me. I love her unconditionally. She doesn't, she burns my eggs. She never burnt my eggs, but I'm using a dumb illustration. Throw them at her? Say, yeah, you're no good? No. Love her unconditionally. I'm so glad that God loves you unconditionally and me. Because if it was conditionally, he wouldn't love us. He wouldn't love us, folks. Because we all mess up. She's going to mess up. I preached a Mother's Day message this year. And in my message I said, there is no perfect mother. She doesn't exist. There is no perfect mother. Amen? But mom loves you unconditionally. Now, look at this. Paul is saying here in verse 25 that the husband is not to beat the wife into submission. He's to rather love her into submission. Anybody hear that?
Yeah.
I shouldn't joke like that. We have an epidemic of spousal abuse. But folks, we need to love. Listen, when he said for the wife to submit to her husband, to be subject to her husband, he took for granted that the husband was loving her unconditionally. Hello?
Amen.
Because if the husband is loving her the way the Bible says to,
She'll have no problem submitting to him. None. Yeah, I got a godly husband. My husband loves the Lord. He's so good to me. Brings me roses and he tells me he loves me. A lot of us forget that. But folks, listen. Today's our anniversary. And oh, we're just praising the Lord all day. 28 years she's put up with me. What a miracle, you know. But glory to God. It's not because of us. It's because of Jesus Christ is the center of our marriage.
Amen.
If Jesus Christ is not the center of your home and your marriage and your kids,
yes,
it will not survive.
Amen.
In this world. The devil has made sure of that. Now, listen carefully. It all starts with the husband. Dad, let me make a statement. Everything in the home flows down from you. You know, I made a discovery years ago. I was the diaper man when going through Bible college in the late 80s and early 90s. I was going through Bible college in New York, and I was the diaper man. And I'd go to work nine and a half, almost 10 years, I was the diaper man. Full-time diaper man, full-time husband, full-time father, full-time Bible college student. Anyways, I would come home from work, and I'd make observations, you know? And I discovered something. Listen, guys. I could affect the attitude of my entire family by my attitude. If I came home grouchy and in a rotten mood, they'd all get kind of gruffy and leave me alone and be quiet, you, and, you know, be kind. That was our favorite quoted verse in the house. Be kind, be kind. But I realized that if I came home full of joy and love and hugging and gentleness, they all followed suit. It's an amazing discovery.
Amen.
Why? Because the Lord has designed it so that the father and the husband of the household would bring his family to a place of spiritual joy.
Amen.
And contentment.
Amen.
And
what,
happiness.
What about the single mom?
Happiness. Single mom, you're responsible for your own. You don't have a husband to do that. So mom, you got two little girls at home. Mom has to set that tone, that spiritual joy and peace for the little ones.
Amen.
See? Moms, it's your job when you don't have a husband and a father in the home. So this is an incredible, look at that again. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Wow! This verse has so much meaning. It's so deep. It's unfathomable. Because if you stop and consider how Jesus loves us, wow, we realize, guys, how far short we fall. Amen? When we look at how Jesus loves us, we realize how far short we fall. But look at here. There's a contrast. The contrast, the comparison is that Messiah loves the church unconditionally. That's what we need to do. Now, there's a contrast. That is that in Messiah's giving of himself for the church, the husband is to live a sacrificial life in loving his wife. This means putting her needs before his own. Look at verse 25 again. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also gave the church, and what? Gave himself for it. Folks, do you realize tonight that he gave it all? He gave it all. His entire life from the time of his birth was a life of sacrificial love for others. He never lived for himself. He never lived for pleasures. He never lived for sin. He always lived for the joy and peace and goodness of others. Amen? I am so thankful tonight for that. It says in verse 25, look at the end of verse 25, gave himself for it. He says that's how you need to love your wife. Give, that is sacrifice, your life, your desires, your needs for her well-being. Amen? My wife loves to watch Lifetime. You ladies like, yeah. Lifetime is a woman's channel. I can't watch Lifetime, guys. I'm sorry, I can't watch Lifetime. But sometimes I'll watch Lifetime. Why? Because she loves it. She loves it. She loves Lifetime. It's all women's stuff, you know? And I'd never watch it if it was just me. But we love her, and we want her to be happy. So we make sacrifices, guys. Amen? That's what he's saying here. Look at verse 1. In verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 5. Look at this.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Every time you see this, this exhortation to walk in love, he always says, as Christ loved the church. Look at it. Verse 2. And hath given him, look at that, there's that word again. Given himself for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now let me make a statement, guys. Here is a great paradox. Here is an absolute unbelievable fact. That when that man chooses to live that way, and to love his wife sacrificially, unconditionally, and his kids, he will walk in the greatest joy and peace of God you could ever imagine.
Amen.
The opposite is true. When that man rebels against that word, and lives for himself, and me, myself, and I, what can I get from me today in the flesh? That man will be the most miserable man on planet Earth. Why? Because he is saved, but he's not living the life. Amen. Hello? Amen. You want joy and peace and glory unspeakable in your life? Do what the Bible says, and you will have it. It's a guarantee. God designed you that way. You've been created to fulfill the will of God, and in that fulfillment, you receive the greatest joy there is available on this planet. I will preach that to my dying day, because I know it's true. Fifthly, observe the Lord's purpose in giving himself for the church. Verse 26. So that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, listen carefully. Beloved, Jesus Christ has made possible a twofold sanctification for the church. First, there is positional sanctification, whereby he has imputed a perfect and eternal righteousness to every single true believer. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Positional sanctification is unchangeable. It's immutable. It's permanent. It's eternal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to show you two sanctifications that he makes possible. There is a positional sanctification, and then there's another one we'll speak of. Look in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. Look at verse number 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that, what's the next word?
Sanctified.
Are. A-R-E, present possessive tense. You are sanctified. In, look at the next word. In Christ Jesus. Folks, this is, he's not talking about practical sanctification here. He's not talking about, you can be full of sin and yet be positionally, perfectly, eternally sanctified. Because that cannot change once you're saved. You're positionally sanctified. He says, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. He's writing to the church at Corinth. What was the Corinth church known for? Begins with a C. They were a what? Carnal church. They were operating in the flesh and not the Holy Spirit. And yet he says to them in verse 2, you are sanctified in Christ Jesus. You see that? That means positionally, go to chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. See it one more time, then we'll move on to our practical sanctification. In chapter 6, look with me at verse number 11. Paul says, and such were some of you, but ye are, present tense, washed. Ye are, present tense, sanctified. Ye are, present tense, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. You are. You are. Folks, this has to do with thy doctrine of identification. When we get to know who we are in Jesus Christ, we'll begin to live the life because of who we are already. Amen? We're perfected in Christ. We have the righteousness of God. We just need to line up with what we already are. You getting it? Now, secondly, there is a practical sanctification that he speaks of in verse 26, whereby he has made abundant provision for the daily practical sanctification of every true believer. Look at verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Well, wait a minute. I thought I already was sanctified. Yeah, you are, positionally.
but not practically. It takes something on your part to be practically sanctified. Look what he says in the same verse. Washing. That's not taking a bath, folks. That's an inner man, soul washing. Washing of water by the word. You know what this book has the power to do? It has the power to cleanse you internally.
Amen.
Nobody can reach into your soul and heart and cleanse it except this book right here. This book has the power to do that. Now, listen to me. The Word of God is so powerful that it can make a dirty man clean. It can make an evil person holy. It can make an impure person pure. Go to Acts chapter 20. Hold your place in Ephesians. Acts chapter 20. Paul's farewell address to the Ephesians. Oh, they loved Paul in Ephesus. And they were weeping because he had to go. But look what he tells them in his closing words in Acts chapter number 20. Look with me down around verse 32. And now, brethren, he's leaving. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able, that word of God is able to do certain things that nobody else can do, to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst all them which are sanctified. The word of God can give you an eternal inheritance because you're sanctified. Go to John chapter 17, just before Acts, to John 17. Watch what Jesus says. In his prayer, this is the Lord's prayer. The Our Father was the Jews' prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, not the church's prayer. This is the Lord's prayer for the church. Acts 17, verse 17. Sanctify them, how? Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so also have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth, the word of God. The word of God will sanctify you. The word of God. You want to sleep good at night? Get into the word of God before you go to sleep. Amen. And you'll Amen. Sleep like a baby. Wow, man, that was so good. Lord, I love the promises you gave me. Yeah. You see that? See that? The word of God will do that for you. Sixthly, quickly, got to finish up. Sixthly, tonight, observe the Messiah's future purpose in giving himself for the church, his bride. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, here we find that our bridegroom has an eternal purpose for the bride, which is the church. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says there's going to be a presentation one day. It's going to be good. We're going to be there. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed, bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Why, Paul? Talking to the Corinthians. For I have espoused you. Notice that. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. A chaste virgin, pure, without sin. Listen to me, folks. One day, we are going to be presented by God our Father to his Son as his bride. Amen. Think about that day. We're going to be all arrayed in white, pure and clean, the righteousness of God. Amen? And we'll be presented as a chaste virgin to Jesus Christ. It'll be just as if you've never sinned in your life on earth because your sins are gone through the blood of his cross. Now, Revelation chapter 19. Go with me quickly to Revelation 19. Look with me at verse 6. Can't wait for you to find the address. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us, church, be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath what?
Made herself ready.
Wow! You know what, folks? It's getting ready time. This is getting ready time. Why are we in church on a Sunday night? on a rainy, dark, dismal day. Because we're getting ready. Amen. We're getting ready for Revelation 19, verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. You can bank your immortal soul upon that truth. Amen. I am so glad tonight that the Messiah is back to Ephesians 5. His true purpose, his future purpose for the bride is verse 27. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church. And he's going to. He's going to. Mark it down. Now, seventhly, almost done. Next, observe the intimate personal connection between the bridegroom and the bride. Verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Why did he say that? Let me tell you why. Because Jesus Christ considers you and you and you and you and you his own body. Look at it again. Verse 28. He says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. It's getting personal. He that loveth his wife, does Jesus Christ love his wife? Oh yeah. Loveth himself. And he can't but help love himself because he's eternally perfect. Amen? He loves you. The Holy Spirit reveals here that the marriage union is so personal and so mysterious that the flesh of the wife actually becomes the flesh or body of her husband and vice versa. This is what we are to Jesus Christ. We are part of him. He has, listen to me, he has made himself, he has put himself in a position where he, without you and you and you and you, he's incomplete. What? Why would he do that? I'll tell you why. Because of eternal love. Because of love for you and for me. I'm so thankful for that tonight. We don't have time to look up the references. Eighthly, observe the twofold duty of the husband. Verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. What's that mean? Listen, Paul is not speaking of a man's own physical body here. But from verse 28, he's talking about the flesh of his wife. Read that again. Verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. He just got through in 28 saying that his own flesh is his wife's flesh. So he's not talking about himself. I always misread this till I got deeper into it. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, that is his wife. But what? Nourisheth and cherisheth it. Guys, you know, you opened the door for her. You bought her flowers and roses. You called her every night to tell her you loved her. You were courting her. That's nourishing and cherishing her, right? Now, listen carefully. He's saying that every good husband fulfills two specific duties to his wife. First, he nourishes her. What's that mean? It means he provides nutrition for her. Second, he cherishes her, much more important than the nutrition, that he counts her precious to himself. He makes her his one and only special princess and shows that cherishing love to her daily. Now look at verse 29 again. Notice the word as. Nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord, the church. Let me ask you a question. Does Jesus Christ take care of you? Does Jesus Christ protect his bride?
Yes.
Of course he does. And he says that's how you need to be with your human wives, guys. Now, our Lord Jesus nourishes us with his daily bread, the word. And he cherishes us as his prized possession with his love. Ninthly, observe the mystery revealed finally in verse 30. Here's the mystery revealed. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, here is the mystery that this world cannot comprehend. It's that you and I, who have embraced the grace of God through spiritual regeneration, have now become actual members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to see that you have become something you were not before Jesus Christ came into your life. You have become part of his body. Look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, Look with me at verse 11. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, Holy Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, giving gifts as he sees fit. For as the body is one, did you see that? The body of Christ is one. We're not divided. It's one. And hath many what?
Members.
And all the members of that one body, being many, are what?
One body.
So also is the church. Is that what it says? No! Look at this verse! So also is Christ!
Amen.
He's saying that Jesus Christ has many members! You and you and you and you and you and me! Did anybody catch that in verse 12?
Yeah.
So also is Christ! Wow! 13! For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body! What body would that be? The body of Christ! This is so good, I can't take it! Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many! What body? The body of Christ. Verse 12. I'm so thankful tonight, back to Ephesians. We've got to finish up. So, look with me at verse 31. Notice the illustration used in verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Listen to me. I tell people all the time, Miriam is part of me. And I mean that literally. I'm not just saying in my heart. I mean she's part of me. I am incomplete without she went away for 10 days to Florida. Now, like, oh, what am I going to do? Anybody cook for me? Anybody come over and do my dishes? She's part of me. And I am incomplete without her. Even so, Jesus Christ, without you, is... I need my wife. I need my wife. Folks, I'm not making this up. He wants to be your husband. He is incomplete without you. Look at it. In verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, not to another man, and they two shall be one flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Finally, observe the application of the mystery in verse 32. This is a what?
Great
mystery. What I speak of tonight is a great mystery. Well, I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ, the man, and the church, the woman. Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, the bride.
Amen.
I speak concerning glorious truth tonight, beloved. Now listen, the mystery is simply this, that just as Israel in the Old Testament was the wife of Yahweh the Father, even so now is the church in the New Testament the bride of Messiah the Son. It's just that simple. And observe the closing application of this mystery to Christian husbands and wives in verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. She will and he will, as long as they're living by this passage, with unconditional love. You know what one thing my wife taught me years ago, 30 years it's been, she taught me how to forgive from the heart. That woman... Wow, that's a gift she has. You hurt her, she'll turn around and hug you and tell you, I love you. Don't you worry about a thing. She teaches me. Amen? Folks, in closing, listen carefully. Sadly, the divorce rate amongst Christian families is now just about equal to that divorce rate of the world. People, something is drastically and tragically wrong with this picture. And I'm here to tell you tonight that the reason for it is because Christian men are not obeying the clear teachings of this mystery, the fifth, the mystery of the church as the bride of Christ. Father in heaven, our hearts break tonight for those who are suffering. The devil's having a field day in the churches tonight, Lord. Christian men who are saved, just gone, just departed, deserted their wives, oh God. We pray tonight that you grab hold of men of God that need to repent and come back to thee. And then they'll make things right horizontally. Father, we thank you for the clear teachings of Scripture. We thank you for the Word of God
which we, while we follow it, we can never err. We can never go wrong. We can never sidestep from the chosen path of righteousness as long as we follow this holy book. Thank you for the mystery number 5 tonight, that indeed we are the bride of Jesus Christ. Lord, I love what I said earlier about you making yourself incomplete without us. Wow! How incredible. We love you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals tonight for a closing hymn. And let's open up our hymnals to hymn number 13. And I think we're ready to all hail the power of Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Anniversary, God. Hymn 13. And then we'll read this card. Let's stand and sing all four. All four of hymn 13. In prayer tonight and Wednesday night, if you can, at 7.
Father, forgive us for all of our sins. Thank you for your word today.
Yes, Father.
Please bless the word that when it goes on the internet, Lord God. Please bless the prayers of the people of this church, Father. If they're praying in your will, please answer their prayers. In the body of Son, amen.
Amen.